Good morning. Good morning. So, I don't know what to say. It's been quite a morning already, I have to say, between pre-church and worship. Those of you who know me know that I love life. I love to laugh. I like to squeeze every drop of life out of each day that we have. And so this message was a little tough because, as Richie said, you know, he's been going through the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Like, those are all great. And then we get to, blessed are they that mourn. And as I started thinking about it, the sadness, the pain that comes with mourning, the heaviness, like the world is on our shoulders, and we just can't get up under the weight of it. That heartache in our heart where we hurt for us, we hurt for others, like nobody wants to go there, nobody. You know, and we look at it and we say, dang, you know, why'd that person have to die? Why did that person try and kill themselves? What made that person make that decision that landed them in prison? Why did they get addicted to drugs? Why did they get addicted to alcohol? What was it that caused me to lose my job? What was it that caused me to lose my husband, my wife, my relationship? To have a baby that died or a baby that was sick. Like, this is not supposed to be a part of our lives. This is not. We are sure that if we live right and we make the right choices, then none of this will ever happen. But that's not what the Bible says. It says, blessed are they that mourn. It says that the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of the foolish is in the house of pleasure. I'm like, pardon me, Lord, did you not get that backwards? You know? But that's what the word says. So when you think about that and you go back into the Old Testament and you look at what mourning really was, like, they would put on sackcloth and ashes, and they would sit, like when Jacob died, 70 days they mourned, 70 days, 70. When Moses and Aaron died, it was 30. Like, people mourned, so much so that even when Jesus came, you know, Jesus out healing, doing his thing, right? And they said to him, hey, listen, you got to come. Lazarus is in trouble. Like, I think he's going to die. And Jesus finished what he was doing. And then he went down there and he sees them and they are mourning, like they're wailing. And Mary says, Jesus, if you would have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And Jesus wept. When he felt the pain of their mourning, he didn't get sad. He didn't shed a tear. He wept. That same God has that same heart for us today. He weeps. And so then you look at, you go forward a little bit, like I remember the 1900s because, like, I'm one of those old people. And so I remember growing up in Detroit and, like, when something happened and people were sad, like, they would wear all black. Sometimes the ladies would have black nylons on and they'd have black scarves over their head, right? The little Italian, Greek, Arabic ladies, and the men, the black hats and the black. And everybody was in mourning. And you know what? People respected that. Oh, they're in mourning. Sometimes they'd come sit shiva with them, which meant they would sit next to them, but they really wouldn't talk to them. They would just share their pain. They just sit there. I'm your friend. I'm here for you. And people would let them be. The companies, the places they work, they understood, like, this person's hurting. We got to give them some time, right? And then you fast forward into today. Okay, you lost your parent, your child, your sibling, your spouse. You got 3 to 5 days. 3 to 5 days. And then we expect you back at 100% to keep doing what you're doing, because you got to be tough, right? You got to be tough. No time to worry about divorce, about sick kids, about hurting people. You got to be tough. And that was me. You know, I came from a dysfunctional family. I was from Detroit. I was tough. Every time I got hurt, my wall got thicker and higher. I went through a divorce, thicker and higher. Things happened, thicker and higher. And I was a counselor, mind you, a counselor with thick, thick walls, nice and tall. Nobody was going to hurt me. But God said, blessed are they that mourn. We weren't created to have high, thick walls. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. We weren't created to have high walls. So, why did God call mourning blessed? Because we need to mourn. People, we need to mourn. When bad things happen, we need to mourn. And sometimes, you know, like, we don't have time to mourn. We got to go to work. We got to do this. We got to do that. We move on. And 2 years later, it hits us. And people say to us, like, what is wrong with you? You're not acting right. And all of a sudden, it hit you. And now you're mourning. And everybody's like, this don't make sense. It does make sense, because we have to do that. Otherwise, we'll be crippled for the rest of our lives. We have to get that mourning out. We need to get alone with God and really process what happened and really be real with him. God, I didn't like that. You know, we have to go through the stages of grief, which most of you probably know this, but for those of you who don't, the first one is denial and disbelief. Like, I can't believe it. I just talked to them. I can't believe they're gone. I can't believe that happened. I can't believe I ended up in jail. I can't believe I got drunk. I almost OD'd. I can't believe it. And then the second one is anger. We get really mad. We get mad at them, get mad at ourselves, get mad at God, which, of course, he's big enough to get mad at. Right? We get mad. And then we start going back and forth about what I could have, should have, wished I would have done. What I could have, should have, wished they would have done. And we start bargaining. Well, if I would have done this more, maybe this would have happened. Well, if I start doing this in the future, then maybe this will happen. Then maybe I'll have a nice, perfect life with no pain. I'll just do everything you said, Lord, and I'll be untouchable. False. You know? And then the fourth stage is just sadness. We get so sad. And then the fifth one, of course, is acceptance. And we think, okay, well, now I accept it, I can move on. But we keep going back and forth. You know, we'll be accepting, and then we'll get mad. Then we get depressed. Then we go to call them up. They're not there. You know, and we just keep going through it. So we need to get alone with God. We need to process all of this. We need to really think about what happened, what were the complications. Sometimes we never had a right relationship with that person, and we regret it. We regret the years we lost. We regret the years that will never be. Sometimes we wished, oh, if only I could have told them this. Did I tell them I loved them? Sometimes we have to reorder our lives and figure out how we're going to raise our kids, visit our spouse in jail. Like, who's going to provide? We got to figure that out. And in the process, we journal. We journal our feelings. We write letters, letters to them, letters to God. Sometimes we plant trees. We start, I don't know what you call it, a foundation to help others going through the same type of grief. Like, we do all these things to try and make things better. But the bottom line is, we have to get along with God. We have to figure it out. We say, wait a minute. Like, what about them, God? I don't see them going through any kind of pain at all. Like, they call themselves Christians and they're living awful. What about them? Or we say, like, God, like, you know how much I wanted this. Like, this was not too much to ask. This was my passion. This is what I wanted. Like, this was my plan. Why would you not give me that? I wanted to be a physical therapist. I went to school to be a physical therapist. And I wasn't even a student. Like, I hated school, but I was going to do it to be a physical therapist. And you know what happened? Bam. God shut that door. I would have never been a counselor if I had been a physical therapist. He had a different plan. You know, and sometimes in that pain, we start thinking, like, who is God? Like, what do I really believe? Do I really believe life is eternal? Do I really believe that God is good? Do I believe that God really loves me? Do I believe that God is enough? Who is he? What do I believe? What do I believe about this world? Like, I thought it was an okay place, right? And then we get this pandemic. And then people are caught up in fear, distrust, confusion. This is our reality. Like, what kind of world is this? Somebody gets raped. Somebody gets stabbed. What? Like, what is that? This world isn't safe. This world isn't okay. Like, God, do you see this? What's going on? And then we look at our lives and we say, like, so what am I doing with my life? Like, am I really happy about how I've been living? Like, I've been living okay. It's not like I'm doing anything wrong. But am I really proud of the way I'm living? What impact is my life having? Like, where am I going with this, God? Like, where am I going? What am I supposed to be doing? So, you know, we think about all this and we clean out rooms, we clean out closets, we clean out our hearts. And we try and figure it out. We try and get along with God. And then we look at, I believe it is Leviticus, where it says that, oh, sorry, I'm on the wrong page. Got carried away. Where it says, God does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. Not willingly. He will use people's worst decisions, whether they're other people's or our own, to work in us, to do his purposes, to create us into what he wants us to be, so that we are truly the most fulfilled, the most able to step into what he's called us to step in, as long as we keep our eyes on him and we keep our eyes on the eternal. This world looks very different when we look at things that way. It has a whole different filter on it than what it does without that. So we look at that and we realize, you know, if he's developing me, he's developing me for a very specific plan. Am I giving him the time to do that? Am I spending the time in his word to allow him to do that? And then we understand that as we spend that time, as we read that word, in the midst of our pain, he comforts us. And then we understand, wow, blessed are they that mourn, because they will be, not maybe, will be comforted. So what happens? We get alone with him, and we feel him wrap his arms around us. We feel his love and his presence and his peace. And there's no denying that. You may not see him, but he's there. He's there. Jesus said, I'm leaving so I can send the comforter to bring you peace in the midst of your trouble. Jeremiah said, you are my comforter in sorrow. David, I know we all know this, said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. And this is my favorite. Isaiah said, he came to comfort all who mourn. He came to comfort all who mourn and provide for all who grieve. He came to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. A crown of beauty. He came to bestow the oil of joy instead of mourning. Joy. And he came to give us a garment of praise for a spirit of despair. He came to take away that despair, that anguish, and fill us with praise and joy and beauty. That's who he is. Blessed are they that mourn, for they will be comforted. Hebrews 4 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. So we can get that grace, but we have to come to his throne. We can't cut him off. When our kids are hurting and we long to comfort them, if they cut us off, we're not able to do that. And they long to be comforted, but they push back. And sometimes we do the same thing. We push back. Yes, I long to be comforted, but no. Like, no, I'm really mad right now. I don't want your comfort. You know, so we long for that. So we go through this and we realize it really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It really doesn't matter what anyone else does. What matters is what we do, where we're going, how we're going to go forward. And we realize that this time of mourning has to end. Like Richie was saying, it's for a time. It's not forever. We have to mourn, but then we have to move forward, because staying stuck does not change the past. It does not change the present. And it sure as heck is not going to change the future, because there's a reason. Remember, it said he does not willingly allow us to mourn and grieve. That's not the heart of God. It says that there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. It says there is a time to mourn and a time to dance. And we have to realize in that minute that God is doing this to increase our capacity to reach out to those around us in a world, excuse my language, that sucks. Okay, this world is awful, full of hurting people. And God is increasing our capacity, because that pain that he doesn't want us to feel, we have to feel so we can reach out to those around us who are also hurting, who know we know what it's like when. Like, that's how he uses us. And they are waiting for us. If we get stuck in our mourning, they'll never have what they need, because God uses us to take the grace that we found in our time of need and move it forward. It says that in 2 Corinthians, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received. We ourselves have received. And then Hebrews says, wherefore, seeing that we are also surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, then let us lay aside the weight, the mourning, the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race set out before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, endured the pain of the cross, endured the cross that we ourselves have to endure, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. So, yes, blessed are they that mourn, because this is where we get our comfort in our pain, and this is how we comfort others. This is how we heal. This is how we increase our capacity for life and God's purpose for our lives. And this is where, as Philippians says, we share in his sufferings and in the power of his resurrection. So, Father God, I just thank you for this word. I know we are all hurting in some capacity, in some way, from the things that life has dealt us. But, Father God, I thank you that you are faithful. I thank you that you are enough. And I thank you that we are enough in you, that we can take the time to mourn when we need to mourn, and we can get along with you and allow you to change our lives so we can reach out to the people in this world that are so in need of your comfort, so that we can be men and women of faith and strength and power, knowing that we are enough in you. And I ask, God, that you would just really light up every person in this room. Light them up with your purpose, with your fire, with your love, with your power. Let each person know how important they are and how not one drop, one tear that they have ever shed would ever go to waste, because you love them so much. In Jesus' name.